Here we go.
Okay, welcome. This is the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District meeting on July 13th, 2017. We wanted to get started right off the bat with our bond counsel, Brandon Johnson.
Evidently, he's been delayed.
Okay, so just wait until he gets here. Is that okay on that one, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's go to our public comment. Are there members of the public that are here today who would like to comment?
Okay. But I see that it's under action items, so can I wait till that point?
What do you mean it's under action items? There's
G9.
What you want to talk about is
G9.
Okay.
It's sort of, there's kind of some ancillary items in there.
Okay, I would prefer you bring it up now. We'll discuss it under public comment, and then we'll have that reference when we get to the action item. Is that okay?
Okay.
Is that okay? And because it's on the agenda, we can actually probably discuss it. Right, Rachel?
Correct.
I love it when she says yes.
Okay, first of all, in regard to the number 9 there, the painting of the pump house number 1.
You're talking about the painting?
The painting of pump house number 1.
Okay.
Which is the second structure along that stretch of road to be painted without approval.
Okay.
Okay. One question I had was, does a board member or a member of the resident of the district have the authority to call the cops when they see something like that taking place?
Sounds like a Rachel question to me. I don't know.
Sorry, I was signing in. What's
given the fact that there is no security on the mountain whatsoever,
the pump station was painted.
Even for Powder Mountain Water and Sewer buildings and or for Powder Mountain, okay, buildings, there is no security.
No.
There's no security officer in it. Mm-hmm. So there have been times on other incidents, not for Powder Mountain Water and Sewer, where I've called the cops.
Okay.
But there was a member of the board present there, and they told me they did not have the authority to call the cops.
Anyone has?
I didn't say I didn't have the authority to call the
cops. Yes, you did. Those are your exact words. Okay. And I told you 3 times in a row, you have the authority to call the cops. You're a member of the board.
At that point, the guy was done whitewashing the building. He was putting it to white. He was 99% done.
No, Jennifer, because I came along 15 minutes later, he was still there.
Okay, it was 99% done when we went by. So calling the cops would probably have been a waste of the sheriff's time to come up. That was my personal
sense. No, but it would have made the point that they can't do that.
You're right. And I immediately got on and texted Greg Morrow, and I think I spoke to Bob by text also, and I think Jeff, you were given a text or a call from Bob, and we let them put him on notice that, you know, this is not your building. You're not allowed to paint our structure. And Greg said, I don't know anything about it. I can show you the text. You know, let me look into it. And nothing happened. That was on a Saturday night. Nothing had happened, so I just assumed that they had passed along the information to whoever their artists were or whoever it was that was going to be painting on this. Obviously, putting it to white was the first step. I went to the gym Wednesday morning, came back up the hill 2-3 hours later, and it had now had been painted. Immediately got on again with the phone with both Greg and sent the photos to the rest of the trustees and said, hey, we have new artwork. Thanks to someone. And so that was the course, that's how it went. And you're right, you know, calling them, I don't know that it would have done anything.
Yeah, I agree.
There's more.
Okay, go ahead.
Because Jennifer told me that the person paying the building had been told by Powder Mountain they had permission to do that.
He said he had an email.
And I immediately called, when I got home, I called the general manager for Powder Mountain, Mark Trostell. And he said, I don't know anything about this. He called Marshall. He said, I'll call you back. And he called Marshall. And in his discussion with Marshall told him that he knew he needed to get approval to paint the building. And Mark Trostell asked him, did you get approval? No, I did not. So they knew that they did not have permission to paint the building. And then the next day, the whitewashing took place on Sunday.
Saturday. Saturday, it's Christie's party night.
Saturday. Okay. The next day, Sunday, they came back and added all the other stuff.
The other stuff was done on Wednesday morning.
It was done the next day, because I drove down the next day. It was done the next day.
It was Wednesday.
So it was, I think you're off by a day on when it actually took place, but it was done, because I drove down the next day and it was done. Everything was added onto it. And this is the second building that this has happened to. We've been done without approval. How many more structures are there on that road that Powder Mountain Water Sewer owns or responsible for that could be painted?
Don't know.
Three.
Two other pump stations.
Okay.
There's Pump House 3, there's the grinder, yep. And there's the old...
the one that's tipped over.
There's the old... abandoned building that was essentially looks like an outhouse that's falling over.
It's falling over.
About 45 degrees falling over. That was supposed to be torn down a year and a half ago or more, and nothing's happened on that. But that could another structure that Powder Mountain Water and Sewer essentially responsible
is
for.
Is that a pump house?
Pardon?
Is that the leaning tower, the old
source of water for Sundown. Lodge down.
Okay.
There. It was abandoned when the new water line went in, connecting Sundown Lodge to the existing water system.
And it's still the property of Powder Mountain Water and Sewer District.
Yeah. And then, well, the last time I asked, well, we abandoned that. Well, but still your property.
Okay.
Whether you abandoned or not, you're still responsible. So there are actually three structures that could be that aren't painted and that could be painted.
Okay. Anything else? Other items?
Yeah, I have a whole slew. My suggestion I have is that given that this board is supposed to represent a particular water district, you know you have this problem with buildings being taken and being used for purposes that are not approved. I think there needs to be an application process sent out to everybody. If you want to pay the building, you need to submit a proposal, and you need to submit a design without a proposal, and then it'll go to the board, and the board will either approve or disapprove that proposal, and there should be some public input on that proposal. I think there needs to be an established policy, or this is going to continue ad infinitum.
Okay.
Good
suggestion.
Yeah, personally, I think that building should be repainted. And actually, to be perfectly honest, Bob and I actually have discussed painting the building ourselves. But I've also heard some feedback that they want to leave it. Some wants to leave it painted the way it is because they don't want to offend the artist. And I think I even questioned whether the artist even knew it wasn't. You know, it wasn't Summit's building to paint.
It was some building
they didn't own. Next point would be, I'm looking at this, if I was in any other water district, I'm asking the board, what do you think the reaction would be from the board in that other district if somebody came and painted one of their buildings? That's a question, which I'd like an answer to.
I have no idea.
Well, I can tell you what the reaction would be, quite simply. There'd be several options that would be available to the board. One would be charges of vandalism. Two would be, okay, let's compromise here a little bit, okay. You go back and you repaint the building to a color that it was or a color that the board selects as an appropriate one. And that will be a compromise and there will be no other issues, or do nothing. And if you do nothing, you're just engendering future actions of the same type of thing.
Okay. Is this the only issue that you wanted to bring up under public comment, or is there
another? No, there's no kind of thing, but they're all, another question I had, I think there are two in front of each building that's been painted, I believe there are two metal boxes, which I believe are transformer boxes. And I wonder how Rocky Mountain Power feels about this. About how they, you know, are there, do they allow people to paint their transformer boxes? To my knowledge, I'm going to say no, but I could be wrong about that.
I'm going to go to a point of clarification or information for my behalf, if I might interrupt. Mr. Cole, is that okay? During public comment, I don't know that it's a time for interaction between the commenter and the board. I think it's just I think the rules of that we operate under, isn't that just a time? So when you keep asking questions, I don't think under the Roberts Rules of Orders, it's a time to have an interchange back and forth. I think the interchange takes place before the board meeting, but then you come and you make your wishes known. I don't mean to disagree or agree with you, but when you keep asking questions, it means to enter into dialogue. And I just don't know that that's what's supposed to happen under Robert Rules of Order. So for me, I'm wanting to answer questions, but I don't think that that's appropriate for the...
Okay.
I'm just trying to help.
I'll agree with that point of order.
Yeah.
I will still ask questions when you get to your...
Sure, thank you.
Action items.
Well,
then
thank you.
I think the best way to handle it with Trustee Harvey's comments are that we hear your concerns under the public comment. When we get to that agenda item, that's board discussion, and we'll take some action on that at that point. So I if you have further comment, please finish
just a quick
it.
But question. Jump into discussion as part of the action under number 9 over here, action items, when we get there?
That's a time for board discussion. We can probably entertain some questions at that time if you want.
Okay, two more, two more points. All related to kind of this, I was just looking at the job responsibility for the members of the board. Number one, just as a point, okay, I would hope that one of the things that the board would consider is that they protect Powder Mountain Water and Sewer infrastructure and property. And then finally, under the last question I had, which actually was not related to that building, it's a little confusing in the public as to, I know there's going to be a new well drilled, but it keeps changing. I would like clarification on which well.
We do have.
Because 6 months ago it was Pizzle, and now was it Worthington?
We'll get good explanation on all that today throughout the meeting.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Sir?
Yes,
please.
Qualify as public.
State your name for the record.
Yeah, can I sit up here?
You bet, sure.
My name is Preston Handy. Thanks for letting me come up here today.
You look a lot like Steve, by the way.
Yeah. I guess that's good. You know, everyone tells me I look like my dad all the time. Now they tell me I look like Steve, and I guess I'll take that as a good thing. He might not like the idea.
Are you related to Steve?
Steve, my older brother.
Older brother, all right.
Yeah, Steve might not like the idea that I look like him now. Anyway, thanks for letting me come here today.
You bet.
I got Jim and Carrie and Paul, and I've spoken with Carrie before. I heard your name, Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer.
Yeah, so thanks, everyone. So
he's a lot better with names than I am.
You've got another, Mr. Handy, you've got another
got
member
Bob Barron
on the
phone.
He's called in, Bob, another trustee,
oh,
Bob Barron.
Yes,
on
the phone.
Okay, cool.
He can hear you. There's a speaker right there.
All right. So my purpose in being here today is just regarding a lot that I own in Eden, in an area called the Preserves.
Okay.
I purchased this lot on April 18th, 2007, what ended up probably being the worst time in the history to purchase a lot.
Right when I bought mine, yeah.
And nobody knew that anyway. So this is 2007. Then on September 28th, 2016, over 9.5 years later, since the purchase, I received a notice from the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer District notifying me I had back charges of over $1,800 for non-connected sewer. So as you can guess, that came as a complete shock and surprise to me almost 10 years later. That's the first time I had any notice of it. It was not contained in any of the closing documents. It was not disclosed to me by the seller, by the title company, by the agent, any of that. And that's significant in my mind because any recourse that I would have against these parties, in my mind, any conceivable statute of limitations for failure to disclose or breach of contract or anything has long since run. So I really don't have any recourse there. So some of my questions, and it's kind of been addressed that they might not be answered today, but I want to learn about this. One thing I want to know is how this water charges came about. Was it by ordinance? Was it by pass by the board? Was it, how did it come about? And what notice was sent out? Was notice sent out? Those are questions I have, and you can make a note of them and maybe answer them later if you want to, or if someone wants to answer them now, that's fine. So this is further complicated by the fact that I own this lot. The bank owns a big part of it, but I own this lot with my ex-wife. And as you can guess, this is not a good thing when we, and as part of our, as part of our divorce agreement, the agreement was to sell the lot, and that's what we've been trying to do for years and years. And if any of you can tell me how to sell a lot up in that valley, I'd love to hear.
Lower your price by $100,000 and anybody will take it. That's what I did.
Give it away?
Yeah, that's what I did.
And what's the deal up there? It hasn't recovered. It's just really strange to me.
That's my butt.
That's neither here nor there. In any case, so the lot itself is a huge financial burden that is on me, but she will not agree to contribute to any of this water. This water stuff that I advised her of. So my purpose today really is to say, just ask the board. I mean, I guess I'd like to know the questions I asked about how this came about, and what am I getting out of this? I don't know. I mean, there was something contained in one of the addendums when this thing was purchased that said seller to provide written verification from water and sewer entities that any fees to connect not be due until property owner decides to build on subject lot. So my request or plea to the board is that I guess maybe I be obligated from maybe the time that I was put on notice in September of last year, and if there's any way that, because I mean this lot's just sitting there, I don't know what benefit I get out of this water thing. I'd like to understand that. I mean, really not really understand it, you know, so I can say, yeah, well, I get that. But you know, maybe because it is a unimproved lot and just sitting there, and maybe so I kind of meet my obligations but don't have the same full that maybe a reduced amount to me, something like that. That's my purpose in coming here today. It came as a complete shock to me. It was like, whoa, what? Yeah. Any questions for me?
Nope. Bob, or sorry, Paul.
Mr. Chairman, yes. This item is an agenda
it's
item.
An, it's
number.
Our agenda
it's number seven.
Discuss.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, you don't have it.
So
it's okay.
It's fortuitous that you showed up.
Yeah.
So
we will be discussing
it's not specific to me on the agenda, or just
no. It is not specific to you. It's specific to all of you.
You say seven. Is that I'm not real good with my
under G.
Gender G7. G7.
Discussion
okay.
Of back billing to not create subdivision.
So there will be a full discussion
yeah,
on that.
We'll be
at
discussing.
That time.
Okay. Do you want me to stick around for that, or are you?
Sure.
You're
welcome.
You're welcome to.
Welcome to, or we can get back to you on that.
Yeah. Anyone have any questions for me? I guess that's really what I'm presenting to you, that, you know, without...
Well, yeah, I do. Do you have... Your water is served by somebody else down there in Sheep Creek. So were you getting non-connect fees? You were paying non-connect fees from the time you bought the lot for water, yes or no?
I wasn't. No, I mean, when you say paying, no. The first I ever...
No, I'm talking water, not sewer. Because you only have sewer through Powder Mountain Water Sewer. But your water comes from somebody else. You're not getting
fees
for that.
I'm paying some HOA fees, which
And taxes?
It's outside of this, but they didn't disclose that either.
Okay, but no water non-connect fees.
So you didn't buy a watershed at the time you purchased?
Apparently not, yeah.
My exact point, because they said every lot had to be sold with a watershed. And you don't have one in either of your daughters. So they're forcing me to pay for water that I'm not using on a hook that I don't have because I have a share.
So do I have a watershed? I don't know. I mean, so.
You may be getting something in the mail from your water provider. That's not us. That would not be us. That's not us.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, yeah. That's the title company. She's responsible for all of that. Okay.
That not every lot has to have a watershed itself.
Not has to have, well, I.
Yeah, otherwise you.
You don't have to deal with that also.
Well, I wonder if now when, if I ever sell it, then someone's gonna come to me and say, well, where's the water?
You don't have the watershed.
We want a watershed or something.
That's right.
You should have had.
We've gotta have to have a watershed, and if we wanna improve the lot, you're gonna need that.
They're gonna need that.
But you can sell that without the watershed.
Okay.
But they won't allow me to sell my watershed.
Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna take it up in a few minutes here, so.
Cool. Thank you.
Painful, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
Extremely painful. All right, any other public comment?
So I'm in the same boat as he is, and you described it very eloquently.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Sandy Myers.
Thank you.
And my concerns were the same as his, that we're asked to pay 2 years in arrears for something that we really didn't know about, had no idea. And in purchasing these lots as an investment, the investment is quickly going away. Because as he says, I have had mine listed three times and have not been able to even cover what I have in it because I pay taxes every year. And water and the HOA and now sewer on a lot that I can't sell. And I was told with the water share to just sell the property and then tell them they owe you $16,000 for the water share. But no one wants to pay an additional $16,000 for a water share. They want that all grouped in with the cost of the land, and I can't even get that amount out. So if you purchase the lot and build on it, you're using these facilities. It's understandable. But if you purchase that lot, like I did with my daughter, we were going to build, she sold hers and built in South Ogden, and I haven't been able to sell mine. So I've been accumulating all of these negatives against my property that I can't sell and get back out. Three different real estate agents have not been able to sell my lot. So I'm hoping things will turn around. But it's really negative press when people hear about you have to pay for sewer you don't get, water you don't get. So that's my comment. And thank you for covering everything.
Yeah, I don't know. Have I lost my floor?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's issues of estoppel, maybe, that because it wasn't put on notice for 9.5 years and now coming back. And I recognize now being put on notice, I'm on notice, okay, as of September of last year. And I wish I could sell the lot.
Painful. All right. Any other comments from the public? Because we will get to that to discuss here in a few minutes. But are there any other comments? You bet. Okay. Let's move on then to our consent items. And just so you know, I will, as soon as our bond counsel comes in, I think we should go right to him. And so if that interrupts anything that we're doing, we'll come back to it, okay? So consent items. Request for approval of the district bills to be paid, the warrants number 218 through 223.
I'll make a motion.
Okay, in the amount of $24,557.76.
and request for approval of the minutes held on June 22nd, 2017.
I'll make a motion
by Jen.
Yeah, motion to pay the bills as voted and motion to approve the minutes. Did you say something, Bob?
Second, I'd motion.
Bob seconds.
Okay, so all of the consent items in that motion then, Jennifer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. And second by Bob, any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, any opposed?
Yeah.
Passes. Okay, to the manager's report. You know what? While we're here, while we're kind of on that bill thing, let's do the treasurer's report, if you don't mind, Carrie.
No, absolutely. Sorry. Count me a card. There's the check, there's the minutes. Okay. Paul, did you want to go over the budgets or not?
No, I'll say this about the budget items. You know, not much changes in 3 weeks other than we dig deeper. So you've got the balance sheet, you know, showing budget against actual, and you can see where we're negative and you can see where we're not negative yet. I don't know what more you want me to say except the same old thing over and over again.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Bob, what's that, Bob?
Well, I'm good with Paul's assessment. I mean, the budget at this point continues to speak for itself.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? Okay. Sounds good then. Let's have a, do we need a motion on that? No, mm-hmm. Just a report.
Just a report.
So
good.
Just a report.
All right. It looks like our bond counsel is here. Paul, I don't know if you want to start with anything under item 6, under budget bidding and construction of new well, to lead into this, or if you just want to start right in under item 1.
Well, I'll just quickly indicate, well, Brandon, you're surely welcome to come up to the table.
Yeah,
since you're dealing with big,
okay.
Dealing with our money here, or some money, and our obligations, welcome to Brandon.
Thank you.
He's been extremely patient, and I'm appreciative of the fact that it's been on, off, on, off, on, off, on.
It's good that it's back on.
Yeah. Let me just say that what you have, or what we can give to you is a schedule of the work as we see it. As of right now, what we're doing is we're advertising for the site. I call it site preparation. I'll use site grading of the new well site, and that will entail adding culvert, that creating more of a platform, an area where the driller and his 40-foot long pipe trailer can set on the site off the road and start doing the drilling. But first we've got to get the site leveled out sufficiently for the well driller to be able to move his equipment on and mount his equipment adequately. I will say this relative, just to get this issue out of the way, relative to the existing Pizzle Springs building, it will come down with this contract. It will be removed, gone, leveled, rubble taken to the landfill. And a new building that's adequate for well and booster station will be built. The other requirement to the issue of security is that we are required to adequately fence the area to keep the public from having access to a drinking water system. That's part of the security that we have to live with. We should have all along, we do all along, but even more so now. Mm-hmm. So that system will be adequately fenced and then also monitored. So that just like at Hidden Lake,
mm-hmm.
No one can enter Hidden Lake without me and the operator getting notification that somebody's in that building. And then all of a sudden we're asking questions, who is it? We're calling around. Mm-hmm. And if not, then, you know, somebody's shooting up there. I don't care if it's law enforcement or us, you know, to find out what's going on.
Okay.
You don't walk into a well house without having an operator there. Mm-hmm. So to the question of future security, there will be future security.
But that's just around the new well. That's not around any of the other existing structures up and down the road.
Very, very frankly, Trustee Harvey, the other structures will go also. You know, we're going to have to get some additional money together for that because I think you've heard me.
I understand, but that's not a part of this project.
Not at this time, but before we can move.
I just wanted to clarify.
Before we can move water up the hill, we've got to have a new system up there and another booster station, and these other ones will be gone.
Okay.
Because they're of no value to us.
Good.
So that's the plan. You have, did you hand out the schedule? You see the schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I won't
say. Yeah, they've got it.
I won't say any more about it unless somebody's got a question. Did you see a schedule?
Anybody oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I just started.
So you see the schedule. You can see that the news is good and bad. The good is we're moving. The bad is we probably, because of weather, winter, limited access, we probably won't have a well. We won't know what kind of a well we have till next July because of the time that's elapsed. And well drillers not being available. We have them pre-qualified. We're going to solicit bids from them. You can see the schedule. We're going to do it right away. But we're still probably not going to be able to get it done because they've got to truck water up and down the canyon. That can't happen in adverse weather. So, I mean, we'll try, but I'm not going to raise your hopes. I'm going to be realistic with you, and then if I can surprise you with some good news, I'll do it. But right now, I want you to understand that it may not happen.
Just giving our best effort.
Yeah.
All we can do.
Well,
okay. Yes.
Well, given the urgency of at least getting a test well this season, I mean, is there a point of leverage we can apply to potential bidders if they can get this done? I mean, I'm not ready to throw in the hat on at least not getting a test well done this summer.
Bob,
we'll, the production well issues.
Sure, we'll try, Bob. But there's, you know, what it boils down to is that there's a factor of mobilization. These are big rigs, and there's a lot of equipment. And to move them in for a fall and then bring them back into the in the spring again, and also the fact that our sense right now, and we will ask pointedly, but our sense right now is that they're all committed. That's why Summit was so frantic about getting going on Bloomington, because if they lose their driller,
yeah.
They've lost them for this season.
Right.
And yeah. So
I mean,
Bob, we'll try. We'll try.
Well, and I mean, if we have to start from scratch, we need to revisit the whole. Then we do need to kind of sit down and take a whole look at the whole process because now we've got time, right? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that we're going to tie them up. We're going to bid this thing,
yeah.
And as we're bidding, we'll probe. Can you come on this fall? What's the premium going to be? Because we've got a finite amount of money.
Let's get this test well done. If
sure.
You can, Paul.
Yeah. Oh no. I'm all.
What I'm saying.
I'm managing your expectation, Bob. That's all. I'm all in favor of going as fast as I can.
Yes, I get it.
And now that we're here, I think we can put the pedal down and pray.
That's right.
We have
maybe the combination of both will work.
It's good. We'll go. We'll do everything we physically can. I'm not crying uncle yet, but I'm just saying. Just if don't kill me if we can't pull it off this season, please.
Okay.
Cancer probably will. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, no, it's still you as far as how you want to handle the bomb cancer.
Okay, well, I think at this point I'd like to turn it over to Brandon. And of course, in the past, Brandon, seen and so have you seen this schedule. Brandon will update us, but he's going to take us, if you would, lead us through all the documents. Give us the priority of what we do next, and after that, and after this, and after all the other, and how we get to yes.
Excellent. So what you have before you today is a resolution. This is the only resolution you'll need to adopt to approve the issuance of these bonds. The bonds we're talking about are revenue bonds, so they're payable from the revenues of the system. They will be bought or sold to the state of Utah, the Department of Water Resources, and they were generous enough to give the district a 0% interest rate. So it's, can't do better than that, I guess. It's
0.0?
0.00,
oh,
yes.
I like
that.
So it's part of their program to help local districts. So yeah, 0% interest rate. It has a 30-year maturity, so it's payable over 30 years. The final maturity is December 1st, 2046, so not quite 30 years. The payments, you make principal payments every year, starting at $20,000, ramping up to $48,000 by 2032. You'll make principal payments every year, but again, there's no interest payments, 0% interest rate. Along with that principal payment, you'll be making payments in the amount of $4,800 a year to a debt service reserve fund over 10 years. That the state requires that. They use that money in the event that the district fails to make a payment in some year. They use that as a reserve fund.
That's in addition to the principal
payment? It is, yeah. Okay. So starting in 2017 until 2027, there will be a $4,800 payment that goes to the debt service reserve fund. That money, so the total will be $48,000. That money, if it's never used, which it will likely not be, will be used to make that final payment in 2046. So you don't lose it unless you don't make a payment. But it stays in there and then makes the final payment in 2046. So you do get it back at the end. We'll use an indenture to actually issue the bonds. That's the covenants that the district will make with the bondholders to make payments and to charge sufficient rates to make the payments and to operate the system in a good manner. And so that will be signed as part of the closing on the bonds. A couple of other things that need to happen. One, there's a notice of bonds to be issued that is required to be made by the state, and also it's required by state law. It goes in the newspaper, and I was going to ask, do you use the Standard Examiner for?
Unfortunately.
So you're stuck with, huh? My grandparents used to say the Standard Exaggerator. So we'll put a notice in there. It's a 30-day contest period, so anyone who's interested has 30 days to contest the bonds, and then after that they can't contest the bonds. I've never seen anyone actually do that, but it gives us a protection that after 30 days no one can say anything, so it's good. So that will go in. We'll send it in later today or tomorrow, and within the next week it will be published. 30 days after that date, we can close in theory if everything else is in place. Another step that needs to happen is the board needs to hold a public hearing so that anyone in the public that's interested in the bonds or the project can come and speak or send in written comments. It doesn't affect anything. You listen to the... If anyone comes, often no one comes to speak, but if anyone comes, you listen, but it doesn't have any bearing on whether you can move forward with the bonds or not. You can choose not to if you have overwhelming dissent for some reason. So we need to choose a date for that public hearing. I don't know when your August... Do you meet monthly, or do you have...
Monthly.
This is actually a special meeting today.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll have another one the end of this month, right?
No, August.
Mm-hmm. August.
We can talk about it. We don't need to. Next month.
So we could set a public hearing date the same day that we have our board meeting?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
Does it have to be at a certain time?
It does not for the public hearing. It can be any time.
Public hearing, how much notice has to be given?
So that's a good question. So this requires at least two weeks' notice. So we have to get it in the paper at least 2 weeks before. It will be published once a week for 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks before. So that's the only requirement. It would need to be a meeting that's probably at least 3 weeks away from now. So both the notice that goes into the paper about the issuance of the bonds and the public hearing notice, we'll take care of. We'll send that to the paper. So we'll need input on you on when you want to hold that public hearing. But it can be, if you have a meeting already scheduled in August, it can be held at that time.
It's on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the third thing, or the third notice that has to go out, the Board of Water Resources requires, with these types of bonds, that the district send a notice, an actual written notice, to each of the users of the system. There's a form of that notice attached to the resolution. Mm-hmm. That's something typically we don't take care of, but I'm happy to work with whoever at the district to put that together. But that will need to go out. And then the written comments can be sent either to the district or directly to the Board of Water Resources, and then they review those. And again, if there's for some reason overwhelming dissent to the project, then they may.
Does this notice of the public hearing and this exhibit, all these notices, can they be sent with the monthly billing to the water users, or do they have to be a separate?
So the notice, exhibit E, that notice to the users mm-hmm. of the system, that can be sent
with the bill.
Yeah, you can include that.
Okay. Cool.
The other two notices are just notices that go in the newspaper. They don't have to be actually sent to anyone.
Okay.
Like I said, we'll take care of those two. But that exhibit E, that notice to users, mm-hmm. it can be included.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And how much notice do they need if the bill goes out once a month?
So the only requirement is they have a 15-day period where they can send in comments. So we can't, that just affects when we can close. We have to, we can't close at least for 15 days after that notice goes out. So
That's okay.
So
and
yeah,
this,
there's
and
no
this notice to the users is after the public hearing or prior to the public hearing?
It can go, it doesn't, it's
matter.
Not really tied, yeah, tied okay. to the public hearing.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, because the notice to the users just asks for written comments, not
okay.
for...
Just don't want to get the wrong order and then
right, yeah.
nullify the whole thing. Okay.
No, yeah, but so there's... Yeah, we'll send the notice, like I said, either today or tomorrow to the
okay.
newspaper to be published. And then the public hearing, if you give me the date, we'll send that today or mm-hmm. tomorrow as well.
Sounds good.
So, and it can be more than 2 weeks in advance as well. So we'll get that in there. Okay. And then, yeah, this notice to the users of the system you can send anytime. And that's not tied to either
okay.
of the other notices.
Another question on your exhibit here. The notice it says the Board of Trustees has determined that the project is necessary to, and there's a big long blank.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I'm glad. So I was going to confuse. So the
just curious what we're putting in there.
So that's the purpose of the project, why it's necessary, and we can fill that in, or if you guys want to fill that in later. But it's just the reason for the project goes in there. Yeah, and
that's a no brainer.
Get water too.
Yeah, get water. Yeah, to have a replacement source
yeah.
of water.
Get water.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, and it doesn't have to be real detailed or
okay.
fancy.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it can
Sorry.
Be a little more than water, but
okay.
I mean essentially water.
water
to get water or
get blankets.
Get a project replacement source of water.
Okay.
I replacement source of water is a very factual statement.
There you go. Okay.
Or drinking water if you want to be really technical.
I think we do say that the project is for drinking water improvements.
Oh, okay.
So if we say drinking water, that may tie it more to that. It's also this is also required in that third paragraph. Very last sentence, it's in brackets. It says that it's expected the district's water and sewer rates will increase by approximately blank in order to pay for the project. This is, again, required by the state to go in there if that's the case. I think you are or have raised rates. Is that the case?
We're in the process again of looking at it. We've got Zions Public Finance helping us with the rate study. And
okay.
So we're in the throes of it right now.
Do you know when that's expected to?
Well, I presented it to the board at the last meeting, and frankly, what I'm trying to do right now is I'm just trying to prove it out, just to make sure that I've got this as lean as I can. Because I mean, the rate increase that we were looking at in the last meeting was like $70 a month,
mm.
which was huge. And so I'm trying to see what I could
mm-hmm.
push around a little bit. Very frankly, so. Within the next couple of weeks, I'll have it. And then I'll get Zions to recalibrate.
Great. And that rate increase will happen before the bonds are issued. Is that correct? I think that was that a requirement?
I think that is.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, I thought that was. Okay. So, if you know, it's an approximate amount here. So if you have an approximate amount or percentage, we can put it here. Or if you want to wait until the rate studies
Can I just look at it a little bit? I don't want to send the shockwave yet.
Yeah, and that's fine. And like I said, this notice can go out whenever. So if you want to wait until all that's done, just know that we have to wait at least 15 days to close on the bonds.
Okay.
So, but that, I mean, that's fine. You can wait as long as you want to finalize
and
that.
And frankly, you know, the amount of work that we have to do with the site grading right now, which mm-hmm. ranges about $50,000-$60,000, and won't be done till the end of August. I mean, we can cash flow that if we have to. So, I'd like to get the well drillers' bids in before we go to bond closing, mm-hmm. just so that we're as close to our real numbers mm-hmm. as we can be.
Sure.
I have one question for you relative to that. I'm sorry, this is
no,
mechanics.
Go ahead.
And that is that I heard that the Water Resources Board took action in their last meeting to commit the funds mm-hmm. to us. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I did.
And
how
so
long the commitment is it for?
18 months from last November.
Oh, well, no, we're fine.
Yeah, you should be fine.
But that means,
that
doesn't mean we have to use them in 18 months. That means we just have
get
to
funded.
Be in the pipeline.
Yeah, you have to get funded. You have to
close. That's what I was going to ask, how long the commitment
yeah.
was good to be,
yeah.
you know.
But
then it's, yeah.
But okay. the question I have for you is, if they've committed the funds and we've, one of the things that was possible or could be possible, if we find through actual bid that we are beyond what they have committed, or beyond what we'd asked for earlier anyway, that they could make the adjustment administratively as opposed to going back to formal hearing. Are we beyond that now?
To be honest, I don't know.
Okay.
You're saying a reduction, Paul, in the amount?
No, I'm saying an increase.
An increase.
I fear.
Oh, yeah. Reduction.
And
thinking?
And so I'm, you know, in the past, it's been possible if you're not down the road, they've just said, yeah, we'll give you the money, and you've asked for this much, and you say, let's say 1.4 million. Just mm-hmm. you know, we're about 1.48, and we need 1.5 or 1.55. If they haven't gone to a certain point, they can just change the number, inform the board, and as long as they've got the money, they'll be okay with it.
And change the
otherwise,
payment.
We have to go back through a reapplication
okay.
process for that delta.
Gotcha.
And so
okay.
I was just checking.
Yeah, and I don't know for sure. Part of that depends on what the resources they have available. Because they have, as money gets paid off, as other bonds get paid off, they have more money
yeah.
or less money. So part of it depends on what they have available.
Of course.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're certainly not too far down the road. If they can make it work, usually any time before closing, if we give them enough notice, they can at least
okay.
try to do that.
Okay.
And even if they can't, you know, at the next board meeting, they can bring it back, usually without doing another
full application.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So is our goal to try to increase this amount right now? Is that what you're saying?
I just fear that I'm just a little nervous about our maximum dollar amount that we've set, given the conditions that we're seeing right now. I'm fearful we'll shoot past it. This is just gut level. It's not, I have no substantiation.
Okay, so I do have a question, Brandon. If we do this increase that Paul's saying, he's anticipating maybe it's a little bit higher than
mm-hmm.
this 1.265 million. If we do go to, say, 1.4, 1.5 million, the state allows it, they have the funds, they fund us, and then it turns out we actually are less, is there ability to then give the excess back and reformulate again, or are you stuck with that amount?
No, you can reduce it.
You can,
okay. We would, and that's a good question. On the increase, we would need to have, the board would need to adopt a new resolution to approve the increase, because we have the 1.265 million here
right.
now, which, I mean, isn't the end of the world. A decrease is not a problem.
Okay, you can give the excess back and
right.
then reformulate the payments
mm-hmm.
and everything. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just anticipating.
No,
I'd
rather have more money and not need it than less
mm-hmm.
money and need it.
Right.
I don't know.
I just want to make sure there's no penalties or
sure,
you can't
sure.
Yeah, no,
pen,
yeah, no
you
penalties
okay.
either way. But, yeah, to reduce it isn't a problem.
Okay. So.
And I will say at this point, you're adopting this resolution, but it doesn't commit the board or the district to do anything. So if something happens and you don't move forward with the bonds, or you have to move forward next year or something, you're not obligated to actually issue the bonds. Or if the amount changes up or down, you know, you're not set into stone at this. But
okay.
this approves, so if things move forward as we contemplate right now, you're ready to go and we can move
forward. Well, you don't have
now.
To do the public hearing thing again
well,
and all of that?
Well, so the public hearing, and I'm going to look at that.
Because right now we would be going with the $1.265 million. If you decide 1.5, we already had a hearing, a public hearing at 1.265, mm-hmm. but we need to redo the public hearing notice, et cetera.
Yeah, so the public hearing we can, what we should probably do, although we need to change, what we'll do to accommodate that in the notice of bonds to be issued and in the public hearing, we don't have to give the exact amount, we just have to give a not to exceed amount.
Okay, that's
so I think I'll increase it to maybe 1.5 million. Do you
not
think
to
that?
Exceed.
Oh, yeah.
Or, and we can do it less yeah. if that's going to.
Well, that's going to change the schedule of payment.
Well, so the.
If that's the amount we actually.
In the have. Resolution itself, there's a schedule of payment. So we'll have, right. like I said, the board will have to adopt a new resolution either okay. way. But if we do the notice of bonds to be issued and the public hearing based on, say, 1.5 million, then we wouldn't have to redo that, even
okay.
if the maturity schedule changes,
okay.
right?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, I'm glad you brought that up. So I'll, we could do 1.4, 1. Point, but I mean, 1.5
well,
we'll
go
is
to 1.5.
Easy.
I'd rather have more than, not needed than less than.
So in the public hearing notice and the notice of bonds to be issued, we'll do 1.5 million just to give the flexibility, and then we don't have to republish those notices. And you don't have to redo the hearing. And the notice to the users of the system, mm-hmm. If you know by then that it's going to be maybe a different amount, you can put that in there. If not, you may have to resend a new notice or an addendum that says we, you know, the amount's changed to $1.35 million.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions?
Are you okay?
Anybody feel like you understand it? Appreciate those
sorry.
Questions.
Sorry.
No, that's
I
perfect.
I understand it is.
It helped me. The question helped
so
me.
I do have one other question. If we're thinking of doing that, will the resolution that we pass today not be for the $1.265 million, but be the $1.5 million in this resolution?
Well, so this one has a specific maturity schedule in it, so
okay.
we can't, the actual resolution itself we can't change.
Oh, we couldn't just do an amendment to it.
Well, but I mean, so if you changed it, like at your August meeting, we could then just adopt an amended resolution that, but changing the notice is what that does is it, because those require the 2 weeks notice and the 30
mm-hmm,
days.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it so we don't have to do that again.
Okay. All right.
So that if the amount changes to 1.4 million, we just come back either at the August meeting or a special meeting, adopt an amended resolution, and then even the next day or two, you could close on that.
Okay.
Without having to do the notices again.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, if the amount changes, we will have to have a new resolution adopted,
new resolution.
But not we wouldn't
okay.
have to do the new notices.
All right. Thank you.
And just the way the bonds are set up, so you're pledging your all of your revenues from the system. After the payment of maintenance and operation expenses. The indenture will be set up so that in the future you can issue additional bonds that are payable from that same stream of revenue. So if you know, if the system grew and you had more projects you needed to finance, it gives you the ability to do that in the future.
Which is necessary, by the way.
Can I have a question? Just a real quick one. Is this just for the test well?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing. Having a well put online.
Having the building taken care of.
And the infrastructure to pump it up.
No. Not up. No.
Not all the infrastructure.
We don't know what we're pumping up yet.
Right.
Exactly. Hopefully a lot. But
that could be a comparable sum.
I guess about $1 million.
You better start playing the Powerball.
Okay. Paul, anything else you want to add to the discussion here?
No, we'll resort out our schedule, our critical path schedule here, and have that out to you very shortly again. I mean, you have the, you have this, we can have the, we plan on having the well drilling bid for the test well by the 11th of August, so it'll be ahead of our next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll know what those costs are, and then we can project what the balance would be. And we'll be closer that way than we are right now.
Okay.
And then as far as all of the other nuances that we have to go through, we'll get this retweaked to fit.
And a lot of the bond stuff is stuff kind of behind the scenes that I'll
exactly.
work on with the state. In fact, Bill Prater, the state's attorney, has already looked at the forms of the indenture and given me a few comments, but he's basically, okay. So a lot of that's, you know, being taken care of. So
yeah, we'll have to get Mark wound into this real quickly. Mm-hmm. So Mark Anderson will have to get wound in. And so I want to stay as aggressive as I can to give Mark enough time to do what he feels he needs to do.
Okay.
So when is your August meeting? Do you know? Or has that not been decided
yet? No, it's on the agenda.
It's on the agenda.
To get one.
We could say.
We could set it right now.
Well, I don't need to rush you to do that.
Why not?
We may as well. Why not?
Yeah, otherwise we'll forget.
If I put it on there for a reason.
Yeah.
Smart.
Normally it'd be on the 21st, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. The third Monday.
Third Monday. Yes. Wait, where am I in July?
You'll send out an invitation.
If they go out with the invoices, they go out the first.
Yeah, or it's an invitation to the board meeting.
Yeah.
Is it,
oh, yeah, I'll
send
that out.
Okay, yes, on yours?
The calendar, yes.
Yeah.
Does
so
that look
sorry,
okay on yours?
10 a.m. August 21st.
Does that look okay on yours?
Yeah.
Looks okay on yours?
Yeah.
I haven't looked there.
I
have
my
multitask.
August 21st, you're saying?
Yeah, August 21st,
be
Monday.
Third Monday.
Third Monday of August.
I'd love to have
right
it happen.
Right now, I'm still in the country, so yeah, I'll be there.
And then public right after that? Right before that, or what?
During.
During?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What I'm going to just caution you on this. Out at around 11:30, there will be a lot of people participating in that total eclipse on that day.
And
I'm going to be one of them.
Are you going up? You driving up?
I don't know where I'm
going
to be.
Casper?
Yet.
It's going right over Casper,
I'm not,
Wyoming.
I'm not going to Casper. I might just do it from right here, but.
Okay.
Bend, actually, Bend is supposed to be the premium spot, and I won't
or
be going
Bend.
There
yeah,
either.
Bend.
Twin Falls.
That's the second best place
oh,
on
I
the
heard
planet.
Oh, I heard Casper.
I want to be in Twin.
So anyway, I just
anyway,
to,
okay.
So
yeah, we'll see.
If we're convening at 11:30, I might go on the roof of this building. I really don't care, but I'm not going to be available from about 11 there. So.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I might be on top
of
the mountain.
You know, I echo that
somewhere.
Sentiment. Let's keep going on these motions.
Yeah.
We're an hour into this meeting with a lot to do.
Okay. So.
How about earlier that day? Is that okay?
Fine.
8 a.m.?
You want to do 8?
That way I can go up on the roof with you.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay. She'll send out an
okay, so
8
a.m. on August 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow, that's early. Okay.
All right, Paul, what do you need as far as motions on this stuff?
We need
a motion to
approve it.
Motion to approve the resolution authorizing the issuance of the bonds.
I'll so move.
Second.
Okay, motion and second on the resolution. Discussion? Seeing none on a resolution, let's do a roll call vote. Trustee Harvey?
Aye.
Reynolds?
Aye.
Barron?
Aye.
And on chair votes aye, we're unanimous on the resolution. What else do you need as far as action?
Is that all?
That's
Mr.
it.
Mr.
That's
Brandon?
It. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Good presentation.
For the free
work
money.
Closely
I mean,
with Paul going forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
so thank you for the free money.
Appreciate the.
stay for that.
You still have to pay it back. Just because it's zero interest, you still have to pay it back.
Oh, darn. I thought there was something. It's not free, buddy.
Nope, we know that has not been easy, and I know Paul has put a lot of work into that.
Yes, thank you,
as
Paul.
Well, and appreciate that very much. Couldn't have done it without you.
0% is good.
The resolution signed.
All right.
What else do we need to do? Then?
What else?
We're down to action items.
Anything else under the bond council items? Okay, so we can move down to the action items then on the the back billing, the guard bill. And the pump
house,
right?
Yes.
Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Start
with the Sheep Creek.
Yeah, so
what's that?
Sheep Creek first.
Yep, Sheep Creek subdivision, number G.
Could
I call your attention to tab number 7?
Tab 7.
And
there's background information for you?
Regarding.
Yeah, just from a business, I'm just going to speak from a business standpoint. Hopefully take no offense. I'm going to just give them the business side of this thing, and so they understand what that is, and then compassion will try after that, if that's okay. What we've prepared here is we've prepared, you remember at the last meeting I said, I understand and I get this, and I understand why they are shocked by this, and it's regrettable in that when we started in, we started looking at the accounting and the billings and found that the district had not collected, maybe even billed, you know, I can't argue the point, but maybe they didn't know. Maybe didn't even bill these owners for the time that we're asking them to pay us. And so I can acknowledge the fact that maybe they didn't have the kind of notice, or we weren't hounding them like we should have, because it wasn't us, you know, and whoever was doing it before just was not doing the job correctly. And so based upon advice from Chris Crockett, in terms of going back on, you know, what could we reasonably go back on? You know, we chose, as I recall, 4 years, what statute would allow us to do.
Because we didn't have, yeah.
The other element that we have to take into account here, and this has been plaguing me from a business, again, I'm speaking business here. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against these folks here, and I understand, and I sympathize with them. But from a business standpoint, the other thing that's been plaguing me is that supposedly a deal was made, and I think in what was read there, the district somewhere in its history took connection fees, $6,500 for sewer, mm-hmm. and took them as an advance and used them to operate on. This is before all of us, you know. And so all of these folks are coming in and they're saying, okay, now we want to build, and we want you to give us a will serve letter. Now our normal process would be pay us $6,500, mm-hmm. because that's the connection fee, mm-hmm. and the will serve letter will be issued, you know. And in this particular case, since this was held, and a lot of this has been verbal, we haven't been able to collect that $6,500 from these folks because it was maintained by the developer, who was our sewer operator at the time, that he had prepaid all of those things. No idea, no record. We have just...
The developer, John Lewis?
No.
No.
Paul?
Southwick.
And so we have no idea... And so as a result, you know, we're not realizing that.
So we're not able in Sheep's Creek to charge for sewer connections.
No,
because they already
point.
Collected it at the time when they developed the lots.
Supposedly, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't fought that fight. Very frankly, I've been thinking in my mind. You know, maybe what we should do is have our attorney drop some sort of notice to everybody that we're sunsetting this. You've got so many, such a period of time in which to come in and get a will serve and start building, or all previous deals are off, you know, because this is a cost item.
And there's no documentation for any of it.
And Paul's...
Doesn't surprise me.
He was indicted, too. I mean, he's...
Paul Southwick?
He's in jail.
Oh, is he really? Yeah, that's why I haven't seen him.
Right, that happened 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
4 years
something.
Ago, 5 years ago, and he took a lot of people for a ton of money. It doesn't matter. So let's.
Right.
So yeah, this is just, and all these folks are more victims that
exactly.
haven't come out.
Exactly. Exactly. So let me get to the point here. Back charges here. You see in the left-hand column here, you see all the lot numbers. You can see the back charges that we have here. You can see the total amount of back charges. Those in red have not paid, whether they contested or whether they refused. They have not paid. But there are those that have paid. And so there are, let's see, Terry, you got to get this right, get me right here. Mm-hmm. There are, how much have paid back charges? What's the total amount of back charges paid to date? Just back charges.
Just the back charges, everything. So there's 18, there's 28.
2470.
No, that would be reimbursement, the 2470.
That's the amount that if you were to And again, just from a business standpoint, if you were to abate these back charges to these folks, then Equity would speak to back charge refunding, and you would refund a total of $2,470 right now, today, monies that we have received so far, plus then not have the potential for revenue of another almost $8,000. Is that right? So it's going to cost us $10,425. That's the business side of it.
Right.
That's, I just give you that. I'll stop right there.
My personal opinion is if you are not given a bill, you don't owe a bill. When you're put on notice, you owe a bill. I mean, we should be going back. Like you said, your statute is probably obviously run against going back against seller or title company should have. Title company ultimately would have been responsible for saying this is what is connected to the lot, taxes, water connection or non-connection or sewer non-connection. So, but obviously that ship has sailed. Personally, I'd say from the time you were put on notice last September, you're responsible for those going forward. I don't feel it's fair to go back, not even a year. You're going back 4 years.
Sure.
I don't feel that's fair. I'm sure you got a bill, you understand it's connected to a lot, you would have paid it, just like any other bill that you get. You're going to pay it. My personal opinion is from the time you were put on notice in September, non-connect fees would apply to the lots. The non-connect fees, the reason you have them, we have them for everybody that has a lot within Powder Mountain Water Sewer District. They have a water and a sewer, well, you have sewer only. Non-connect gives them the ability with the time when they do go, it holds their rights for water and sewer. That's what they're paying for on the non-connect fees. Because you were asking
Did you say I have sewer and not water, or water?
You have sewer only from Powder Mountain Water Sewer. Your water comes from Liberty Water.
It's Liberty Pipeline.
Okay, so someone buys a lot, they get water. I mean.
Well, no, I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know
if they're well. I don't know.
I don't know. You'd have to contact Liberty Water at that point. But my personal feeling is that from the time you were put on notice, that's the time that we would be billing you moving forward. I think. I don't know if other people disagree with me, and I understand the financial, what you're saying, but
talk to us about the action that was taken to initiate this in the first place. Remind us, did we have a board action to do this, to go back to the 4 years?
That's it. You went back, his four comment years. Was, is he went it, back
well, we went
years.
Back four, no, we went back no, four years. Years. We can, by charges. Law, we can only go back 4 years, okay. According to Chris. And it started with when I had taken over and we were looking at everything that was 90 plus days over, and we weren't being able to, collect, and we had no correct addresses, we had nothing.
Right.
So I was looking into, I actually went through the county and physically went through every single, we had nothing. I had no phone numbers, no emails, no nothing. And so I physically had to go back through each, from the records I had to go back through, and I went through every one of them, pulled up parcels, because we didn't have, nothing.
Yeah.
And so once we started pulling up parcels from the county, it led me to, this one is in our district, why do we not have this one? Mm-hmm. Coming to find out that most of the title companies, according to a couple of the people that I spoke to, the title companies are down here, not up there, because I physically get phone calls daily from the title companies up in Eden. They know, that's a miscommunication, basically, when they run the properties or anything. There's no nothing showing that there are back charges. Or that there are.
How did we come to deciding?
We started with liens after we finally got.
But did you start with what?
Yes, we've had a couple of conversations. It was never anything that we took action on, because it was just when we started with the liens and who was behind, who wasn't behind. Chris brought up the fact that, these are the ones that we do not have, that we have now brought to the table. And it was decided that him and I would just go through it and whatever the legal process was. And that's what he pulled up. He said the statute says 4 years. We can go back 4 years. And that's where it went. There was never an action taken on it. It was just a discussion in two board meetings that says, yes, we can do this. So that's what Chris and I decided, and he brought up the statute and said, here you go. So it's a formal action, no, but it was brought up and discussed, yes.
We did have formal action on the liens.
On the liens,
the
we,
liens
did.
We did.
On the liens, we did. But that it started with the lien discussion and who was behind, who wasn't behind, and then the properties, and it led into that discussion.
So the way I see it, we have we had discussion. It was with the combination of the discussion in the board and legal opinion, the the director, or what's your name, Paul?
Mud.
What do we call you? The boss? Mud. You know, this has been an administrative action to this point. But we have taken action, and as you said, some people have paid mm-hmm. back this 4-year period, right? Mm-hmm. So now it seems like we would have to have formal action, I think, from the board to do something different than what we're doing now. That's why it's on the agenda if you so desire. But we do need to keep in mind, we have set a precedent now, and so we probably have, if we choose to change that, I think it's correct what Paul said, we do need to be consistent. I don't know how you do that, but.
How many total lots are we talking about?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
This is the ones not
nine.
Built.
These are the ones that were not built. There's a total of nine.
How about
nine.
The ones who have paid, or how many total lots? I'm sorry.
That's fine. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 people that have, or 4 lots that haven't paid, 5 that have.
So it'd be a matter of, issuing checks with mm-hmm. a little explanation letter yep. saying, happy day for you.
Yep. Something to that.
I feel very strongly about this. I would be completely, I can understand how upset you are. You've owned it for 10 years and all of a sudden the bill shows up out of the blue that you didn't know of, were never put on notice by the title company, by the seller. So I can appreciate
and
that.
And to let you know, I'm here with a plea today, not taking a legal stance at all. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I understand the business side of things. Yeah, I do. I understand it. And when I was put on notice, yeah, it sucks. But it was on notice. I still kind of don't quite understand the non-connection thing and what benefit I get out of it. But
you have land that will have sewer to it.
Yeah,
as opposed to land with an outhouse instead of an outhouse.
Sewer's important.
Sewer's important.
Okay.
But we still
any brother Steve's
would know
that.
A non-connection.
But,
it's called a non-connection.
No. But if we build,
yes.
If you build,
you
then
build,
you pay
you
a
pay
connection
more.
Fee.
You
well, no,
you
know, in their case, that's what we're saying here. In their case, if we go based upon what we've heard with no documentation, which is we have abated the $6,500,
mm-hmm.
we say we can't collect it from you guys in Sheep
I think
Creek.
That's apples and oranges. That's a whole other subject.
Yeah,
that's a whole nother
that
subject.
That can be changed now. But I'm saying is that way. I didn't feel. I'm sorry, from a business standpoint, kind of the cold, hard, freon in my vein standpoint, I didn't feel bad about the $1,800 because I'm thinking you guys got off without having to pay the $6,500 that everybody else is paying.
Yeah,
that's
true. And what you do with the other folks that
right.
just blindly paid it, that's your call. They
right.
should be sitting in here.
We should reimburse them.
In my opinion, they should be sitting in here, and if they didn't,
yeah, but it's
yeah.
still,
you know.
It doesn't matter.
Are those people that already paid?
Yeah.
Do they own
what you're saying
homes
to
and are they using
from the time they put on notice?
Well,
I think that's a good distinction.
There's two of them that are. Yes.
I think that's
so
a good distinction.
Could understand the
you know what? If you own something for 10 years and all of a sudden it's like you haven't paid, it's like what? Title company didn't
yeah.
tell me. That's
right.
their job.
And I'll let you guys.
So,
but again, Jennifer, we aren't responsible for what the title company or a seller did or didn't disclose. Or didn't know, and frankly, we're not responsible for what a property owner did or didn't know.
Mm.
Now we're responsible for what we do,
mm-hmm.
and I understand the point of you know how far do you go back? I mean that's where the legal aspect came into play with Chris. But we have to be really careful. I mean I just overheard that sidebar, and we need to be really careful when we say well because you didn't know or because the title company didn't tell you that
right.
that's not. Really,
but
in our
well, no,
but that's
not,
their job.
But I will say, I would have bought
job.
A lot had I known going forward there would have been all those. It would have been a real.
I mean, well, it's like we had this example in our tax sale the other day that we approved. We have a tax sale where we dispose of
mm-hmm.
these delinquent parcels, and every year we have somebody come in that says, I mean, even though. You know that we say 18,000 times it's your responsibility to do due diligence here. We have somebody come in and this is different. I understand because we didn't tell you that up front, but they come in and say, I thought I was getting a house or a building lot, and I find out it's a, you know, a 4-acre strip. And so we have to just be careful about taking a responsibility that might have been someone else's upon ourselves.
I mean, there isn't the due diligence. The title company, they should be telling you about that. You know, that should be their due diligence. That's what you pay them.
But I went back to them, and they said, you're way past the statute of limitations.
Well, no, right, to make a claim against them.
And this is an administrative decision. And I was told by Carrie that you technically could go back to 2005. So if we pay this, then down the road, are you going to say, well, there were all of these years from 2005 forward that we didn't address?
You wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it. As far as administrative,
that's because of the advice from Chris.
The advice from Chris, yes.
Just give you a copy of this. I mean, again, this doesn't go to your decisions, but that's one of the. I went back through what I was. I understand. So.
I still stand with my position. I still stand with my position. I would say from the time they were noticed of things owed on.
Am I right that it was $30 a month when I first put on notice, and it went
to 40?
It changed to 37 as of the first of the year. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So. I still stand in my position. I'm saying that we did the one time grace. You know that we need to contact whatever title company. I don't know what companies you use, but that is something that is utterly retarded. Land has water and sewer. Or they say you got to drill your own well. That's a title company. How could they think there's land that doesn't have water and sewer with it? And if it doesn't, you should be investigating why it doesn't. And that's on the title company.
Well,
honestly,
what it was there was they didn't report that there were monthly fees other than just.
I was going to say
at some point when you decide.
They do. Yeah. Usually get a list of what
when
they
you
are.
Decide to build. There was that's yeah. What
if you buy
that was
if
my
you buy land, they give you that. It's this much a month. It's that much a month. That's on the title company. So the title company's failed, and I don't think that these individuals should be penalized because they had crappy title companies. I understand. We didn't do anything.
Same thing goes. We can't pay for what the title company. If the title company screwed up, that's not our fault either.
Oh, I understand. It's not ours. But I'm saying we shouldn't not be penalized.
The only equitable argument is if this were 2 years after, I'd be going against the title company.
Right. Right.
You know, I have a strong claim against that.
Right, exactly.
So the question is, do we feel comfortable with our legal advice that was given that led to this action, this administrative action? If we don't, then we need to go back and re-roll this thing and start it all over again. If we do,
well, I don't recall having the discussion with Chris. I don't recall having that discussion, saying we'd go back 4 years, because I would have probably been in the same stance that I have now, saying that, you know, I don't feel that that's penalizing, you know, the individual for something that was a failure on somebody else. I'm not saying we should take the hit also, but I think at this point we should. That's the right thing to do.
Well, I don't recall the exact discussion.
I don't remember.
It's being relayed.
Yeah, I don't remember a conversation with Chris Crockett regarding this, so. I do not.
So what's our current legal opinion? And I mean, so we do have a couple options. I mean, and all these guys would like to know today. We can go one way or another today. We can hold off again until we get a better legal.
Well, yeah, I mean, Chris Crockett, the county attorney, was the one who dealt with this originally. So it wasn't me who gave this original advice, but what he's saying sounds right in my mind, you know, from a legal standpoint, is you go back statute of limitations and what's owed is owed regardless of whether you were notified. But it seems like this really is more of a policy decision. What you guys want to do, if you want to.
So,
I mean, policy decision is one thing, but I want to make sure we're on firm footing one way or another.
And I'd be happy to go back and take a look at it. Like I said, I wasn't the one who looked at this originally.
I don't remember having that. I remember a lien conversation, but I don't remember the billing conversation at all.
And I could go talk to Chris and get his brief on what he did, and then I could do my own independent look, and I'd be happy to do that.
Bob, any thoughts over there? You're awful quiet. Bob?
Yeah.
You're awful quiet. Any thoughts?
Well, it's a conundrum. I mean, we have folks that have paid. We have folks that are understandably challenging our going back 4 years. We have a probable legitimate legal opinion that was rendered that we could go back 4 years. So, I mean, we just need to sort this out. And I think the prudent move is to let Rachel weigh in and give us sort of an update and bring it up again for a formal board meeting. But one thing that I do have to come down on, for lack of a better description, is this notion relative to the appropriateness of non-connection fees. We, as you folks know, we have folks in our neighborhood that pay both water and sewer non-connection fees on an ongoing basis. And they're constantly questioning whether or not this demonstrates any value to them. And they constantly point out how this is diminishing their ability to sell and impacting on their investment decision and the worthwhile investment they made. The short answer is that the non-connect fees that individual pays go towards our ability as a district to maintain and upgrade our systems so that when they do decide to build or do decide to sell those lots and can sell those lots, that there's a robust system in place. So the validity of the non-connect fees is one thing that I do feel we are absolutely on strong ground with. So I just wanted to kind of at least outline that particular issue. And then I say, you know, we've got to take another look at this. We just don't know where we are on this.
Yeah. And that gives me a better understanding.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it, but, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough conundrum. Anybody
want to buy a lot?
I told you, lower the price by 100,000, you can dump it. That's what I did. It was a good deal. Yeah. Buy high, sell low.
I feel the pain you're in. That's true.
Yeah, the non-connect just gives you the right at the time when you build. It holds your position because we only have so much water we can get.
Without that, the lot's worth less.
Yeah.
Well, you can put it in.
Well, you explained it well, Bob.
Good points, Bob.
Would you go back?
I'm going to circle back with Chris Crockett. See what his thoughts
are. Can I just have one final
part?
Just because we can legally doesn't mean we should.
I agree on that. That's the point that I made.
I'm just going to make that statement. Just because we can, just because we
can,
doesn't mean we should. We have the authority to go back that far.
Okay.
Just because we can.
So we have some direction on that issue.
Yep. Yes, we do.
Can we talk about Mr. Garfield?
Okay, so...
Yeah. Wait a second.
Okay.
Are you okay, Paul, then, with that direction? And then also, you mentioned your desire to talk with Rachel again as well on...
Sunsetting.
You've been talking about that before.
Yeah,
I'll spend some more time on that.
It's becoming... It's a nasty
issue. Oh, really?
Okay. Perfect.
No, I didn't. I can't see that far.
I feel inclined to weigh in somewhat because the other trustees have,
mm-hmm.
By virtue of having two of you here in the room,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for your position, and some of the consequences to Mr. Southwick have happened, and some continue to keep happening, and I'm sorry about that. I don't know how those things can be fixed in our society. Just from my position, and I'm not prepared to make it in form of a motion, obviously, since we're going to move forward. I'm comfortable with Rachel getting us a little more information, but I'm floating right now somewhere in some middle ground, and so I'll be anxious to hear what you have to do there so that I can, but I'm probably somewhere in the middle ground towards the more lenient side right now, because I want to be responsible as a trustee member, but I also... I only wish that restitution could come from to the responsible party who's not here. That's on all of it. So, So that's just my two cents for the record on
that's
being recorded.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Moving on then to Pete Garfield's overusage bill.
Okay. So if you take a look at the letter that he so eloquently sent,
where's it at?
It's under tab 8. Starts, you know, you can't miss it. Says Peter J. Garfield in gigantic letters.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Mr. Handy, nice to meet you. Good luck.
Thank you, everyone.
I'll get back with you.
Yeah, we'll have
another
meeting.
Back with
Thanks
you.
For having an open dialogue.
Thank you. The letter that he states, it's a lot of fabrication in it. And so I wanted to set the board straight on the true situation of why his water bill was so large. Here is his 2-month rental agreement after he stated to Carrie and others that he did not have anybody and that it's uninhabited. If you read the letter, it states that it's not occupied full time. I agree, it's not occupied full time. But during the months of this water usage, he was renting for 2 months with up to 14 people in the house at any given time. And most of the, I would say, averaged 8 to 10 people during 2 months, period. In addition to this, there was a large water leak of the water softener that I, as the manager, figured out when he was told, hey, you're using this tremendous amount of water. I walked around the snow looking for leaks, finally went into the water closet, the utility closet, and could hear water a little bit, and noticed the water was going straight through the water softening system. Now, again, I was using, in my terrible math, 1 gallon a minute, which I've been told the pipe going into a water softener is much bigger, but at 1 gallon a minute per month, that comes to 1,440 gallons a day, times 30 is 43,200 gallons a month. That's from the water softener leak. Oh, in addition to the 14 people in the house, there was a professional chef. So you've got a professional chef, 14 people, that's 14 showers, 2-3 loads of laundry a day, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, your water usage is going to be very high.
People shower every day?
Well,
in my world they do.
Ski. The hot tub doesn't count as a shower.
Oh, okay.
My husband says so, but no. So I agree, it was exorbitant, but between the leak and 14 people in the house, it's very clear that there was no leak in our system or, you know, going to his house. It was water usage, period. The fact that he wrote this letter that doesn't state facts as they are, he does not mention the water softener leak, he does not mention that it was rented, he's actually insinuating that there was nobody in here. Here's a copy of his 2-month lease. Like I said, I've redacted the dollar amounts so that I'm not giving out anything that anybody doesn't want. Right. The water usage was done. I think if he had done what I had asked him to do, which is send a letter, we had a leak in the house, didn't realize it, can you cut me a break on this? I would be in a feel differently about this. But because he tried to go and pressure Carrie, pressure Bob, pressure anybody he could, and lie about the situation, I don't feel that I need to waive anything on his water bill. So those are the facts, and you guys can do what you'd like to do. I don't know what you do at this point.
I'm ready to move forward right now.
Yeah. About this?
I'm sorry?
Just kidding.
Did I what?
I said, do you feel strongly about this?
I do, because he's texting me every day.
I get it, yeah.
And bothering Brian, and just in line.
Jen, I feel the exact same way.
Thank you, Bob.
The only request I have is that Terry, with a C, provide him with the documentation we're using to make this decision. It was an unfortunate circumstance of a water leak and a boatload of people.
Yep. But if he had put that in the letter like I had suggested to him, to the board,
yeah.
We might have found some sympathy, waved a little, you know, it's a leak, you didn't know about it, okay, we'll take a little bit off. But because he tried to lie about it, I don't feel strong enough to go to bat for him. So I think we give him a notice that, you know.
So he's asked us for some relief on the bill. Is that what it is?
He doesn't want to pay any of it.
Any of
he doesn't want to pay any of it. He wants to pay what his monthly fee is.
Okay.
That's it. He doesn't even acknowledge in this letter that, like I said, two factors that would increase your water usage 13-fold, as he says. A water leak. And 14 people in your house for 2 solid months.
Right. So, Jennifer and Bob, you're the most familiar with this situation. Do we need a motion? We probably don't even need a motion on this, but I mean, basically, he owes the bill unless we do something different, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
No motion.
I think can we give him a final notice on this amount and say pay this now?
Sure.
Can he give a final notice, and you can carry with a C. You can explain. You know why that is.
Five times,
I don't see any reason to have.
Well, we're not charging him late fees and penalties.
No,
we're cutting him a break on that.
Water, okay, he can send that in and to his insurance company and hope that he gets it.
Well, yeah, you have something going on.
FYI, his wife is an attorney, and he's threatening to go to the attorney general about our faulty water meters. That he didn't use the water, he's not paying for it, it's our faulty meters.
I have an impression or a feeling that he'll go ahead and pursue that. So we need to be prepared there.
Yep.
But I also, you teach people how to treat you, and this is an issue it's okay.
He's my husband's best friend, and
what's his wife's name?
Victoria something something, hyphenated, Victoria something something. anyway.
Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Send him that documentation.
Final notice.
I will send it off.
So after final notice, then if he doesn't pay, then you shut off the water?
Lean.
Lean?
Yeah, tax lien, yeah.
Hold on just a second.
Water lien?
Can I say something, Karen?
Go ahead.
Because Jennifer lives behind him, and I am directly beside Pete. Jennifer's closer, I'm closer to Jennifer than, we're that far apart.
Okay.
When you say shut off the water, I'm not sure you can, because not every house up there has an outside.
Yeah, this is true, too.
It's lean, it's a.
No, it'll go lean.
We appreciate your input.
Thanks, Craig, thanks.
Water cannot be shut off.
Yeah, it's a public street.
We know that.
You have to shut off the whole street.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Lean.
But I, Mr. Chairman.
I'd
like the minutes to reflect that this is the consensus of the board. I mean, even though you don't want to do a motion, it's a consensus.
Okay.
So that we can have the minutes reflect that.
Right, move forward.
It's the I'm consented.
Is there anyone that is not, that disagrees with that consensus? Then it's the unanimous consensus of the board.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
For our memory's sake.
Okay, back to pump house number one. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I feel like we've discussed it. I will just say this. I think it's been made clear that this shouldn't have been done. Shouldn't have been painted, and we need to do a better job of watching that in the future. And I think Paul did a good job of explaining, you know, what we'll do with our new system, you know, our new facilities or fence and things like that. That's important.
Okay.
I feel like it's important to say in defense of Jennifer that an individual board member really doesn't have any authority other than just a private citizen to go ahead and take unilateral action on something like that. And so if I were Jennifer, my course of action in that case would have been to bring it to the attention
I
of
did.
Management.
I texted you.
Which she did.
Yep.
And
photos.
And then we need to decide, management needs to decide how to handle that. And to the extent that board action is required, we would do that in our next board meeting, which is what we've done. So I think this has been handled appropriately, Jennifer. I think you've done a fine job in how you handled that. I don't know how else it would have been any different. I mean, if there were individuals on the system who wanted to call law enforcement, they could have done that just like you could have. But I don't think you had any additional authority to do anything other than that.
I agree. With.
Well, I made it, you know, I put them on notice.
And so the question now becomes, how do we deal with this and how do we move on from this situation?
Okay. Did you have something?
And it just seems to me that we do have some options, but if we want to spend, I'm just not really into the message sending. I mean, obviously we have to teach people how to treat us, but this pump house is coming down in what, 3 weeks? Paul?
Four weeks. Soon as we can.
I still want
to. I think the message has been sent loud and clear that we don't want this kind of stuff happening in the future. Now, if we want to go spend money to,
we're
or time or
money.
Whatever, or
they
send
are.
A message or whatever to change it now, that's fine. But my thoughts are, let's get this pump house down and move forward in the future with the replacement of it.
I want it repainted, then you can tear it down.
Well, a quick question.
Okay.
Because I was going to ask this question, when is the building coming down? And Paul said 3 to 4 weeks, okay. Is that actually going to happen in 3 to 4 weeks?
Yes.
Okay, because if it's going to happen, then I'll shut up. If it's not, then I think we should take it. The board should take action, okay? And then, on a slightly different vein, okay? Not talking about the pump house there, but if all those other pump houses are being torn down, and there's going to be a new one built, and I'm all in favor of fencing and security. I understand the need for that totally, but I'm also concerned as a resident within the district that the board, okay, pretty much
as
the commissioners, okay, who don't live within the district, okay, and I've never seen anybody there. There's no office for the water and sewer within the district. that stuff is gonna get done, and that that area right there in the long run is used as part of Powder Country. And you know, we need a fence around the new buildings, I understand that. I'm concerned that it's gonna be done in such a way that it's gonna ruin the flavor of the end result of the building that's built and the usage alongside the road for Powder Country. So I would encourage the board to take lots of many active steps with Powder Mountain to find a compromise solution so that the fence and security works out perfectly with the existing scheme.
Okay. Good advice.
Okay.
Good advice.
Thanks.
Carrie?
Yes.
Oh.
Carrie with a K.
Yes.
Okay. Jennifer called me, as has been well established, notifying me that in fact this building was being painted the primer coat. She advised the gentleman who was doing it that it was not authorized, that she was a trustee, and appropriately did not take any further action other than notify the appropriate agents and other trustees. Subsequent to that, that building did have an artist that showed up and subsequently painted it. I find it impossible to believe, actually, and I can't get a straight answer out of Greg, and Jeff has not returned multiple phone calls and texts in order to try and clarify if anybody at Summit had any interposed knowledge of the second coat of paint, namely the actual artistic beautification of our beloved pump house one.
Well, Jeff's sitting okay. Right here. Maybe he could answer you, Rob.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that, okay? In subsequent conversations with Greg Morrow, he assured me that the pump house would be repainted. Mm-hmm. He told me that directly, okay? Subsequent to that, we start to get this story about how Paul had sort of vaguely authorized it, how it's scheduled for demolition anyway, and sort of why bother, okay? We don't want to offend the artist community, okay? Well, that's well and good if there was an established protocol by which plans could be submitted and we could become participatory in public art. But that's not what happened here, okay? This is not just an unauthorized sort of slow rolling ground ball that went through the legs here. I find it improbable that there wasn't some degree of acquiescence or prior knowledge that this artwork was going to be done. Did this artist just on his own manufacture a place where he wanted to start his handiwork? I doubt it, okay? I feel strongly that this thing needs to be repainted, and it can be being repainted by as part of a public works project by local residents, or Summit can repaint it, or they can pay the Lowe's bill for the 5 gallons of whitewash, okay? And it's not precedent setting or tit for tat. It's just wrong, okay, for this to happen under this premise that somehow there's an artistic mandate that involves property we own. I want it repainted. I've been categorical about this. And Greg Morrow told me that he was gonna instruct Jeff to do it, okay? So that's what I'm hearing, that's what I'm seeing, and it's crazy. We just can't deal with these kind of issues, but that's where I land on this. It needs to be repainted.
Trustee Harvey?
I'm going to weigh in on this. I want to keep personalities totally out of this, but where I grew up, I'll just say I don't remember in my short experience here on the board issuing any kind of or having any discussion with regards to doing any kind of work on the structure of the pump house, especially as it regards to painting or artwork or whatever it's called. So art is the beauty's in the eye of the beholder. If someone paints a building of the hundreds of thousands of acres of or a square footage of building that I've been in charge of, we've called it graffiti. We also press charges. And so it is to me, unless we ask or we contract for it to be done, then we go to the furthest extent of the law. I don't think anyone here is trying to hide anything. I think it would be good form. I don't care about a fence. The graffiti artists that tag our buildings where I came from might have been great artists. I really don't care. Mm-hmm. If they don't have permission, they don't have permission. And they need to know that it's not okay. And so I'll go back to that same foundational thing that I always go to. You teach people how to treat you. I think it would be great form if any responsible party were to have that tagging mitigated and corrected before the end of the week. We've seen that things can happen over weekends. I think it would show good form and a good neighborly way to do things if that were taken care of. But that's my two cents. I don't know if that we need a motion.
No.
I'll just leave it there.
Hey, if it was Banksy, I'd say we could sell it for $1 million, and there we go. We don't need the bond, but it's not Banksy, and even if it was, still, well, no, if it was Banksy, we'd sell it for millions of dollars. But yeah. Other than that, it's pure, plain and simple, it's vandalism.
I don't care if it is Banksy or not. It could be Banksy in his earliest Banksy form. I don't care who it is. Yeah. I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. The right. Board, moving forward, whether Paul, there was a soft kind of okay, it doesn't matter or not. Those are the things that need to be brought before this board in the future. The fact that it's been tagged, it's done. It should be corrected. And if there was a neighbor involved in it, then I'm hoping that the neighbor would be just as involved in the future getting it corrected. But I don't know that that's the case. I don't know that.
Go ahead, Bob.
You're spot on, Jim. Mm-hmm. And let me just ask Jeff, since he's sitting there, did you have any advanced knowledge, direct or indirect, of this artist's contention to go back up there after Marshall painted the primer coat? Were you involved in this?
No.
Did you tacitly acknowledge this in any way?
I wasn't even there at all.
He said no.
So what's the reluctance to repaint this? Okay, is this for me?
Paul, go ahead.
Since I've been thrown under the bus twice, I'll pull myself out.
You're not thrown. There's been some insinuation. You'd give a jet to clear the air.
Just like Jeff, I mean, the first I heard of it is when all the emails started flying, and I go, oh my gosh, okay, well, that's interesting. And of course, you've all heard me call it affectionately lipstick on a pig, and for the reason that number one, it's an ugly building. Number two, it's coming down. So, but you know, other than that, I've tried to stay out of the fray.
But you can't put lipstick on my pig.
Yeah,
without my permission.
That's fine.
And by the way, Bob, we've repainted your house pink.
Well, that's good. Did you say like paint my other house?
Let me say this. I don't know what time you talked to Greg last night. I was talking to him at 7 p.m. last night, and on this particular topic, he said, "It's regrettable that it happened. It was an artist in residence thing that the county co-funds." And of course, when Greg told me about this initially, he put it to me. There was no tacit. There was no implied approval by me. I was informed by Greg a month ago or whenever it happened that this had happened. I did not say yes, no, or up or down. At this particular point, as of last night, he said, "Well, if that's what the district wants, we will repaint it." That was his words.
Crying out loud.
He's been saying.
That's what he said last night to me. So
he told me that a week ago, and that's what prompted. Slipped on that statement. That's what prompted me to put this on the agenda. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the truth. That's the truth.
Go ahead, Trustee. I'll just say out loud that I'm not going to put this in form of a motion. The fact that Mr. Morrow has commented on it and is taking some ownership, I think, is good. But on the flip side, I would like to make a motion, should anything be tagged of any of our property in the future, that this board makes a policy that criminal charges are brought against anybody unless we go ahead and prove it in advance. I mean,
I'll second that motion.
I'll third it. Crisis. Yeah.
I don't necessarily disagree with the with the concept there, but I'm not sure that it's appropriate to take a action.
That's what I.
But it's under here.
On something that hasn't happened yet, and.
Only setting a policy, setting policy for future.
Okay, we'll put.
Again.
You want to put it as an agenda item in the future for that? I don't.
But it says discussion and or action regarding that.
That's specific, this is a total.
Okay.
So I don't know, that's fine, we have a motion on the floor, we can discuss it, we can do whatever we want to do. Everybody's frustrated about this, right? We need to not have this happen in the future, everybody knows that, but we got big fish to fry here, guys.
No doubt.
And we are wasting time on, I mean.
Yep.
I think the folks at Summit understand that this isn't happening again, okay? I think it's better for us to take action, to send that message loud and clear. I think we send it in this discussion. And if it happens again, whatever. We can take a motion right now. We can pass this motion if you think it helps. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable saying what we're going to do in a future situation that we don't even know what that situation is. So I'd probably vote against the motion. But again, I think it's clear what the intent is, and I think everybody agrees with this, that if something happens in the future,
well, no, I'm going to second this. I'm going to second the motion because
I want to be clear in my motion that I'm not calling any group or individual. I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying that should it happen by anybody, this is what we do moving forward.
Then I have the authority to
call the sheriff.
You have the authority. You don't have any more authority with that motion than you did the last time. You can call the sheriff as an individual. If there's a board action taken, you're a part of that board action, but you don't have responsibility or authority to act on behalf of the district. There's only one person that does that alone, and that's Paul.
You know what? And if there is a board action in the future, and we do decide to paint whatever it is, then we're probably going to put it in a notice and let the people know 60 days and 30 days in advance, and then it gets done and nobody says anything. That's how we do it.
I make a motion, we go to closed. Come
all
out.
Right. Well,
we have this motion on the floor. Okay.
Anybody want to?
What's the your motion that we can?
That we just, that is a policy of the board.
That's
that
when I second.
Go ahead, Chris.
Second. Second.
Ag buildings.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Now, can I make
a
motion?
Is that an aye as in yes or an aye as opposed, Bob?
Aye as in he supports it.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Not
an A.
Aye.
Okay, so my vote is no. It's a 3-1 vote where the motion passes. Next.
Motion to go to closed session.
Second.
Not a public.
Quick point. Getting back to the buildings that they torn down, is there any way the abandoned system that used to feed Sundown can be torn down when the other buildings are being torn down?
If and when that happens.
Is there any way? Probably a way, but I don't know that we figured it out yet.
I mean, it's a tiny little thing. It looks like an outhouse.
Yeah. I just was there this week. I know what you're talking about. Paul, if we can do anything like that with this whole thing. Yeah.
We'll look into it.
We'll look into it.
It's been there forever like that.
And besides, if it's there, it just invites more vandalism.
Oh, I don't disagree. No. I'm one that likes new, nice-looking things.
I just want my no vote to be clarified, Carrie, in the minutes, is that I don't think that we ought to be taking action on a hypothetical situation in the future. If we want to write a written policy as to what we do in vandalism, I'd vote in favor of that. And it's not that I'm opposed to the concept of what was brought up. I just don't think that it's appropriate in this case. So
you both want to guess.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Motion
is to move into closed session to discuss acquisition of real property, including water rights and pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Well, in terms of they're talking policy.
Do I have a second on that?
It's air conditioned. Second? We need a second.
A second?
Second. There we go. We got a second. Come on, wake up, Bob. All right.
Okay.
So we're going into.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Progress.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.